Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, friends, and it's time again for the Redemption Time Bible Broadcast with your host, Brother Larry Knowles. I want to first of all thank you for being here with me this morning, for listening to the broadcast, and for staying with us as we go through the Bible and bring you these messages from different aspects in the Bible. We do appreciate each one of you that listens, and I trust that the broadcast is a help and a blessing to you. Well, I want to give you an invitation to come to our candle lighting service on December 22nd, and yes, 22nd, that's 6 p.m. at our night service, and I believe the Lord bless you if you do that. We will be lighting candles in remembrance of those of our loved ones who have gone on. You can bring your family, you can pray together as you light those candles. And believe it'll be a blessing to you. If you've never been in one of those services, you really ought to come experience that. Also, we do have our regular Sunday school convenes at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. Worship service at 10:45. Sunday evening at 6. And Wednesday evening at 7. We invite you to come and be with us there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor, and we invite you to come and enjoy the blessings of God along with us. Well, going to have a song, then I'll be back and continue with our message, the series on the conquest of Ai and the defeat that was suffered there by Israel.
Passes by.
Well, that was the Dumplin' Valley, and their song, Keep Me Safe Till the Storm Passes By. And I played that this morning because I'm in the message that I'm doing on this series in Joshua. First, we talked about Jericho. That was a couple of few weeks ago. Then, last week, we started on the next conquest that they went to, being Ai. And as you know, as we read last week, they were utterly defeated by just a few people, and 36 of their men died. And so they were facing a storm. And the reason for using that song this morning is normally the Lord would be their shelter and the Lord would be their protector, but this time in particular, he was not. And it emphasizes to me that the fact is that we all need a shelter sometimes. There are storms that are going to come our way in this life, and the only safe place to be is in the shelter of God's arms. And so we're going to look at what happened here, that they lost their shelter, and God did not help them in this battle. But first, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the broadcast and for each one that's listening, for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray that your will be done in this broadcast and that everything we say and do will please you. Lord, help us to expound upon your word in a way that pleases you and will be a blessing and a help to the people that are listening. Father, I pray as we enter this season to remember the birth of your Son, that we will remember what this season is all about. It's so easy in all of the glitter and all of the things that surround this system or this season, it is easy to forget why we have this season. Lord, I pray that we'll keep first and foremost in our mind the fact that we're celebrating the time that you sent your Son through a virgin into this world, and his purpose for being here was to go to a rugged cross and die in our place. I pray this morning that you'll make this precious to some person's heart that maybe never embraced it before, that they'll understand how much you loved them and how much Jesus loved them to come and do that. I pray, Lord, that if those are listening to me this morning that are your children, but they're discouraged and maybe they're disillusioned and don't know which way to turn, then I ask you, Lord, to help them and to bless them. There are those that may be anxious over things that have happened. Those have lost loved ones, Lord, through death. I pray you bless them, comfort them. Lord, most of all, I pray today for those out there that might not know you, that you might speak to their heart, bring them to a place of understanding their need for a Savior, and save them by your marvelous grace. I know you can. I know you want to. I know you will if they just come and ask. Father, go with us through the broadcast now and use us and make it a blessing to these folks. And may it lift you up and exalt you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we started last week in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. And we read you the account of how that when after they had conquered Jericho, the people of Israel, led by Joshua, we're going next to go to Ai, sent spies in, just like he did to Jericho. They came back and said, well, there's not very many of them over there, just a few people. I tell you what, said, we don't have to have but about 3,000 men to go up and take that. It'll be nothing. But you see, they didn't understand that the glory of God and the blessing of God had departed from them because of sin in the camp. And it'll be too late when they find this out for the 36 men that lost their lives that day due to being routed by those few little people there in Ai. And it said in verse number 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down before the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So here we find the greatest army in the world at that time, the greatest military force that there existed in that day, has had to turn and run because they have been defeated. They ran in the face of adversity because God had departed from them. They didn't even understand that at first. Joshua had to go and pray, and God revealed to him what the problem was. So what is my point? Here's the thing. You say, preacher, we're not trying to capture a city. Well, why not? Wouldn't it be good if it was noised abroad that there had been a great revival in Knoxville, Tennessee, or Maryville, Tennessee, or any of the surrounding areas, and people were being saved by the thousands. Lives were being changed, and hopeless centers were closing down because people had been saved, and they're going back to their lifestyle, and they're going back to live a life of happiness and joy and privilege. My, why can't we take the city for the Lord Jesus Christ? These people were taking it for the glory of God and for their own good. And I can promise you, if we could take Knoxville, Maryville, any other town, maybe the whole region, then, Lord, let me tell you, we would be blessed beyond measure even in this life. And then even more so, the reward that would come afterwards if we were able to do that. So why not? Why are we not trying to take a city for the Lord Jesus Christ? But I want you to notice that in Jericho, we're shown that God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. At Jericho, he did everything. That's why he said, everything goes into my treasury. We've gone through the scenario of what happened over there. All they did was march around, and they shouted and blew a trumpet, and the walls fell down, and God did the work. That's why he said, bring it into my house, and if you take anything of it, you'll be accursed just like it is. And so I remembered that they were able to take Jericho for the same reason you and I could take a city for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if we understood exactly. And now, can I say that one of the problems they had here was they underestimated their enemy. They did not take into account that they had been deprived of the blessings of God and the support of God. And as such, they went out and they underestimated the enemy. And friend, it cost them dearly. Those 36 men paid with their lives. Can I say to you today, dear friend, that we cannot underestimate our enemy? The Bible says that the devil, our adversary, is walking about seeking whom he might devour. He's just like a hungry lion, looking around to see who he can devour. And there is a way to defeat him, and there is a way to go into his camp and take captive those that are held captive by him. And look what Paul told the Corinthians over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Let's start with verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So does that mean we go and we plunder and we tear up and we do all of these things? No, sir. That would be warring after the flesh. Paul plainly says we're not fighting in a manner after the flesh. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. We are fighting a warfare that is powered by and enabled by none other than the Holy Ghost, but I can tell you it's mighty through God to pull down strongholds. That's exactly what God did at Jericho. He pulled down a stronghold because they did not go in the power of the flesh, but they went through the power of God. They did what God said. And then we'll find as we move on that one person was disobedient. One person did that thing that God told them not to do, and everybody had to pay for it. Everybody suffered because of it. But here's the thing. If we fought after the flesh, we'd end up just like they did at Ai. See, that was what happened. When they went after Ai, they went in the power of the flesh, believing that they had them outnumbered, when in reality it didn't matter because God had pulled his blessing away from them. And though they may have thought that these were just a few men, what they discovered was that they were warring in the flesh, and the flesh had failed them, just like it will fail you and me. Now, Jericho is an example that God can do anything, that nothing is impossible with God. But Ai is an example that without him, nothing is possible. And I remember that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse number 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And then it goes on and says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So we find that, probably should have stopped the verse before that, but anyway, if we don't abide in Christ, we'll find, he said, that if we do not abide in him, we can do nothing. You see, a branch depends on the vine for its living. It is fed through that vine. It receives its strength through that vine. It receives its life through that vine. And for a branch not to abide in the vine, that means it has to be separated. That's what happened here at Ai. They had been separated from God simply because of the sin that was in their camp. So how in the world did the most powerful force on earth in that day get in such a situation as to be routed by a few men out of a tiny place like Ai and suffer the loss of 36 men? Well, let's take a look. First of all, there was some deception that was involved, and it was mostly surrounding Achan. You see, he had a love for luxury and the shiny, nice things. Because when God finally told Joshua, when Joshua sought and discovered the problem that one of their own had taken something from Jericho, after God had said that you'll be accursed if you do, then we find that Joshua, in praying, God told him, said, "Joshua, get up." He got down on his face. He was praying. God said, "Joshua, get up. Wherefore hast thou thus day upon thy face?" Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and assembled this also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. They put God's things among their own stuff. So why did it happen? Well, when they confronted Achan, they cast lots. They brought each tribe. God chose the tribe. They brought each family. God chose the family. Then through the family, they finally worked it down to the individual, and Achan had to confess that he had taken something. So what was it? Well, Joshua said unto Achan, "Son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So here we find that Achan was deceived by these things that he wanted. And so by that deception, he decided, he thought that he could take it and hide it, and no one would ever know the difference. But can I say to you that the Bible says that your sins will find you out, and time and again, I've seen that work. I don't care how deep you try to bury something. I don't care how far you try to hide it. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. And sooner or later, you're going to be found out, just like Achan. And it said that 36 men paid with their lives before this happened. But friend, there's always casualties when people disobey God's word. When people don't do what God said do, there are always casualties. This was a casualty in the nation of Israel. I'm afraid we have spiritual casualties in the United States of America today because we've not obeyed and we've not followed the commandments and what we know is right according to the Word of God. We have forsaken the principles that our country was built upon. We now have all kinds of stuff going on in this country, and the corruption starts at the top and works its way down. And therefore, there are consequences, and sooner or later we'll pay them. But I want you to look at what he did. He saw, he coveted, and then he took. That's kind of the same route that Eve went. She saw that fruit. The devil pointed it out to her, and she looked at it. It looked good. Looked like it would taste good. And then he appealed to her pride and said, "Why, that'll make you like a god. You'll know good from evil." And he did. Just didn't give her the power to choose the good and leave the evil alone. And here, Achan was deceived by his pride. "Oh, I saw this Babylonish garment, and I took it." Well, why would he want a Babylonish garment? Babylon was a place under the curse of God. It was a place that had been nothing but idolatry and the enemy of God since its inception. And even the man that founded it was an avowed enemy of God. And yet, this man desired to dress like them and to look like them. And so he was deceived by the pride that was in his heart that he wanted this. Well, he wanted it, so he took it. Same way with Eve. She saw the fruit. She desired it. Thought it would make her wise. So she ate it. And as a result, mankind as a whole lies in sin today. And from that day till this, sin has never stopped destroying lives. These desires and deception that worked on Achan at Ai, they're still working today on people. You see, the world is convinced that the things that are important is a career and money and fine houses and reputations and fame and fortune. But folks, that is not the important thing in this life. The important thing in this life is to be ready when it's over. And the only way that we can be ready when it's over is through knowing personally the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want to ask you a question. I'm down to about a little over 2 minutes left. Let me ask you a question, friend. If you died today, where are you going to go? Where will you be tomorrow if this is your last day to live? Will you be safe in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or will you be screaming out for mercy in hell? But there is no mercy in hell. You will stay there right through the rapture. When God's people are resurrected, you'll still stay in hell. You'll stay there through the 1,000 years that Jesus reigns on this earth. And then you will be called out to stand before God's great white throne. And there you'll have to explain what it was that deceived you and caused you to turn your back upon the gift that God gave you. See, that's what this giving thing's all about. God gave us the greatest gift when He gave us Jesus. He came to this earth born of a virgin. Escape sin. He didn't have sin in him like I do and you do. But he escaped it. He lived a perfect life. Went yonder to the cross and died as a sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, in your place and in my place. They buried him. Thought they were done. Thought he was gone. Nope. 3 days later, God raises him from the dead. He now holds the keys to death and hell. He now has won the victory over the Lord, the Lord of this world. He has won the victory over Satan and has defeated him. Friend, if you've never been saved, I want to invite you today to get somewhere alone, humble your heart, ask God to save you, come into your life. On the authority of God's word, if you do that, I know He'll save you. Now may God bless you until we meet next week.